Welcome to the Apple Podcast. Today's episode delves into the U.S. Supreme Court case, DeShaney versus Winnebago County Department of Social Services, decided in 1989. This case examined whether the state has a constitutional duty to protect individuals from private violence. Let's dive in. The case revolves around Joshua DeShaney, a 4-year-old boy from Winnebago County, Wisconsin, who suffered severe permanent brain damage due to abuse by his father, Randy DeShaney. Despite repeated warnings and reports of abuse, the Department of Social Services, otherwise known as the DSS, failed to act decisively to protect Joshua. Now, let's discuss the timeline of this case. In 1982, the Department of Social Services received reports that Joshua might be a victim of abuse. However, after interviewing Randy DeShaney, the agency dismissed the concerns. In 1983, Joshua was hospitalized twice with suspicious injuries. The DSS placed him temporarily in protective custody, but later returned him to his father's care, relying on the father's promises of cooperation. Over the next year, DSS caseworkers documented additional signs of abuse, including unexplained injuries and ongoing concerns from medical personnel and neighbors, but they took no further action. In March 1984, Randy DeShaney beat Joshua so severely that he fell into a coma. Emergency surgery revealed extensive traumatic injuries, leaving Joshua permanently disabled and institutionalized for life. Joshua's mother sued Winnebago County Department of Social Services and several individual social workers under Title 42, U.S. Code Section 1983. Alleging that their failure to protect Joshua violated his 14th Amendment's rights to due process. The U.S. Supreme Court, in a 6-3 decision authored by Chief Justice William Rehnquist, held that the state had no constitutional duty to protect Joshua from private violence. The court's reasoning focused on two critical points. First, the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment protects individuals from state action, not inaction, meaning that while the state is prohibited from depriving individuals of life, liberty, or property without due process, it is not obligated to shield individuals from harm caused by private actors. Second, the court determined that no special relationship existed in this case. As such, relationships, which may create an affirmative duty for the state to protect an individual, typically arises in the context like incarceration or institutionalization, where the state has taken custody of the person. Since Joshua was in his father's custody, not the state's, the Department of Social Services' failure to intervene did not make the state constitutionally liable for his injuries. Chief Justice Rehnquist acknowledged the tragedy of the situation, recognizing that the state's failure to act was deeply regrettable, but ultimately did not constitute a constitutional violation. In a dissenting opinion, Justice Brennan, joined by Justices Marshall and Blackmun, argued that Wisconsin's child welfare system effectively trapped Joshua in his abusive home. They contended that the state's repeated intervention and failure to remove Joshua from danger created a special relationship, making the state responsible for his safety. Justice Blackmun poignantly observed that the majority's decision to stand by while a known victim is devoured by the wolves failed to reflect the Constitution's underlying values of compassion and protection. The decision in DeShaney versus Winnebago County DSS remains a defining case in discussions about state responsibility and private violence, While it limited the scope of constitutional protections under the Due Process Clause, it also spurred reforms in child welfare policies and state accountability nationwide. That's all for today's episode. Thank you for joining the Apple Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time as we explore another landmark case shaping the intersection of psychiatry and the law. Until next time.